Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Tuesday, June 7th, and I hope that you are enjoying a good day in the Lord. Amen. Also, today happens to be the wedding anniversary of Tyler and Megan Berwanger, and I hope that Tyler and Megan have a special day today and are enjoying their week. I understand they're on vacation in Ireland, and so I hope they're having a good time there, and we're grateful and glad for them to be able to do that. That's a blessing. I hope they have a special day today. Well, I also hope you've had a good day today and hope you continue to as well. I hope you'll stay tuned for our program today, the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Let me remind you that we've got prayer meeting time coming up, regular midweek service coming up tomorrow night here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, located at 1415 Island Ford Road. We'd love to have you come and be part of our services here. 7 o'clock is prayer meeting time, 7 p.m. here tomorrow night at the Island Ford Baptist Church. As far as I know right now, Lord willing, I'll be preaching and looking forward to what the Lord might have in store for us and praying that God would bless and meet with us and help us according to His perfect will. Also want to remind you to keep praying for my mother. My mother is in the hospital in Hayes, Kansas. She's been having some problems with her intestines. Mom had bladder cancer back a few years back. And because of that, she's susceptible to problems with her intestines, and she's been having some problems recently. Dad had to take her to the emergency room on Sunday, and they put her in the hospital, then moved her on to Hayes, which is a little bit bigger hospital, did CAT scan and all those. Anyway, they've got her some help. She's been resting some. They've been having to give her some powerful pain medicine and some different things, procedures that they're doing, like for you to keep her in your prayers. I understood yesterday, I think I told it on the broadcast, that they were going to not feed her anything and let her intestines actually just rest for 3 to 4 days. Well, the hospital doctor changed that, and so they've been trying to stimulate, rather than let that intestine rest, they're trying to stimulate that thing and make sure that everything's working right. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. And I talked to her this morning. She was doing well, tired, sore, hurting, but glad to be alive. And so we're grateful for that. But I want you to keep her in your prayers, my dad in your prayers as well. I did ask if they wanted us to come out there, my wife and I, and try to, there's really nothing we can do other than just be there. But they said no, that they didn't need us there, that for us to stay here and keep praying. So we're going to do that. We're going to keep praying. And I do have my in-laws in visiting with us. They got in last night, about 7:30, quarter till 8, something like that. And they've been visiting with us, and so we're glad to have them here. Then the Grays are here as well. Sister Gray, Sister Shauna, and then Holly are here. And Brother Gray and Miss Jessica will be coming on in later on in the week. And Brother Gray will be preaching for us on Sunday morning. And so I want you to remember that as well in prayer. Pray that God would just bless and help and meet the different needs. Then we did get, I mentioned yesterday, did get the thing fixed for AJJ to be back on the air. We do have some equipment to be worked on and some things involved in that, but we're grateful that it was as simple a fix as it was, and thank God for His goodness and grace concerning those things. And then I do want to keep praying that God would help us about the land issue. We'd still love to be able to purchase our own place and be able to set up our own tower somewhere there in the McKenzie area. And it certainly would be a real blessing. We had a couple of options and things that we thought were available that didn't come through. And God knows about those things. We don't have the means to raise money quickly. We don't have money in hand other than we do have a little over $1,000 towards. We're trying to raise $10,000 to get a start. We have a little over $1,000 in that fund, and I've not been pushing it. But we're just waiting on the Lord to open up the venue and help us. But every time we're down there and see the tower we're using and the situation things are there, we're reminded how utterly at their mercy we are, how utterly needful and really needful it is that we get our own place that we can control and be able to manage. So I'm just simply saying, make that a matter of prayer, if you will. We're going to be praying about that as we move on in the program today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to bless and help. Do pray for the broadcast that God might use it to bring some sinner to Christ. and strengthen the saints in the grace of God and the goodness of God, and that Jesus Christ receive the glory he deserves. All right, as we look into the scriptures here in just a minute, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to tell you how much I love you, how much I appreciate your goodness, grace, and mercy, such wonderful mercy bestowed upon me. I want to thank you, Lord, for salvation in my own life. I want to thank you, Lord, for the family you've placed in my life, for my mother and my dad, for my wife and my children, my in-laws, friends, and people here at the Island Ford Baptist Church, people at WSOF, WAJJ Radio, those in the listening area that are friends. And I'm grateful, Lord, for friends that you've placed in our life. And friends are a blessing and a treasure of the Lord. And I want to thank you for that, Lord. I want to thank you for being the dearest friend that I've ever had. Lord, for saving me and blessing me like that you have. Then, Lord, I pray that you would help. I do thank you for helping my mother. Keep helping her, Lord. Touch her body. Meet her needs. Lord, I pray that you would raise her up, if it be you will. I do pray for Brother Kevin Franklin. I didn't mention him in the request, but I mention him now. Lord, would you touch him and his body? I understand that he's having more problems and more difficulties. And so, Father, I pray that you'd intervene in that behalf and help there according to thy perfect will. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to help Brother and Sister Hall, help them as she recovers from the eye surgery and as he prepares for the procedures next week. Lord, would you bless and help in that? Bless and help my in-laws. Thank you that they're doing well, that they're able to be with us. Father, I pray that you'd bless in this time. Thank you for allowing the Grays to be here. Bless them in this time as well. Use Brother Gray on Sunday morning, I pray. Father, I pray you'd bless them and be in their services tonight. I think I understood my father-in-law to say that Brother Herbert Williamson is preaching for them there at Vision tonight. And so I pray, Lord, you'd bless in that meeting as well, that you'd get the glory and the honor. Lord, I do pray that you'd help Tyler and Megan. Lord, you'd help them have a wonderful anniversary, and then you'd work in their life, in the spiritual needs. Lord, you'd work there in those special requests and needs that they have. Father, I ask you then that you might help in this broadcast, that it might accomplish your will and work. I do pray for our radio tower situation, the land situation. Father, I pray that you'd intervene. Help us not to fall prey to making a mistake, but Lord, that we'd have the direction, discernment of the Lord to know exactly which way to go. And I know that anything we do is expensive and we don't have the money on hand, but you've got it. And so we trust you with it and pray you'd help now and get the glory. Bless now, Lord, use the broadcast, bless in the preaching, anoint it, put your hand and power upon it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to be looking in the scripture at 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And we'll be right back after this song with a message from the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16. The Bible says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." I've been preaching now for the last couple of weeks on what I call the mystery of godliness from this verse of Scripture. Paul the Apostle, in so many words, put together a tremendous bombshell of a statement of evangelical truth. I mean, just a wonderful statement of soul-saving information in this one verse. 7 points that I bring out of this. We've looked at the first being the first phrase, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." I called that the apostle's revelation. He's revealing to Timothy, that's what you need to be preaching on. That's what you need to focus on. That's what you need to exalt. That's what sinners need. That's what our world needs. They need to know about Jesus. And then I talked about the Father's manifestation. God was manifest in the flesh, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And then we move from there to talk about the Spirit's vindication. He used the phrase justified in the Spirit. Jesus Christ was proved by the Spirit of God to be everything that he claimed to be. He was not justified by the Spirit. He was justified in the Spirit. He had a just spirit. He had a human body, but a divine spirit. He was the God-man. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm dealing with the phrase, "seen of angels." I've called it the angels' examination. Now, yesterday we started out with this and mentioned to you that there are three particular points that I'd like to bring out. I dealt with the first one yesterday. We'll start with the second one today. First of all, we talked about their marvel. These angels marveling in amazement at the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned to you that word in our verse, 1 Timothy 3:16, that word seen of angels. The word seen is Strong's number 3700 and has a very deep meaning. It means, quote, to gaze, that is, with wide open eyes, as at something is remarkable. Amen. And so we see that the angels, by the way, were gazing upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something different, according to the concordance. This is different than voluntarily looking upon something, just catching a glimpse of something or even looking. This is as if something has captivated the attention. You cannot tear your eyes away. Something that demands a deeper investigation, something that demands an intensive inspection. So the angels here were amazed. They marveled at the scene of God becoming flesh and dwelling among men. Now, I mentioned to you that to get this picture, you got to see that the angels, the holy angels that fly around the throne of God, known as seraphim in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, that these angels are so awed at the holiness of God, that they cover their bodies with two, they've got six wings, with two they fly, with two they cover their bodies from the top to the bottom, to their feet, that God not look upon them, lest, even though they're holy, lest God see some speck of unholiness in them. And then with the other two wings they cover their faces, lest they look upon the holiness of God. And so these angels intentionally do not look at God yet. I'm talking about in His holiness, sitting upon the throne. Yet when God took upon Himself the form of a man, it's as if these angels could not tear their eyes away. They could not get enough. It's such an amazing thing. And that's where I'm going to go in dealing with this now, in their mystery. Now, what was so amazing about that? I said, although the angels dare not look upon the face of God in His majesty, yet they seem to be inquisitive about His revelation of Himself and His will, as can be seen all through the Scriptures. Now, I mentioned to you that this was such an act of grace. And I believe that's what they are amazed at, is the grace of God. Because that when the angels fell, I'm talking about when Lucifer deceived a third part of the angels and took them, they fell out of heaven. When Lucifer was cast out of heaven, that old dragon, and with his tail it drew a third part of the stars. God never stood up from His throne. God never stepped down to take upon Himself the form of an angel. But when Adam died, I'm talking about when Adam died in sin, when Adam sinned and the human race was plunged into rebellion against God, God went down in the cool of the evening and cried, "Adam, where art thou?" And God set in motion the process of the revelation of this mystery of godliness. Now today I want to look at their mystery. Now, these angels are looking into it. We see this illustrated by the two cherubims that are seen on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. If you'd like to turn to Exodus chapter number 25, verses 17 through 21, you'll see it very well. It's a very clear picture. Exodus chapter 25, verses 17 through 21. Here's what the Bible says. "And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them, in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And make 1 cherub on the 1 end, and the other cherub on the other end. Even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall they look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of the cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I have given thee." Now, boy, there's so much in that, but you know that when God told Moses how to prepare the ark, God told Moses how, not the ark of Noah, but the ark of the covenant, and they were preparing that holy tabernacle that God was going to give Israel there in the wilderness. God allowed Moses to see something on that mountain that was the pattern that he was to build this one after. Now, it appears to me that God's showing Israel something in this text about the curiosity of the angels. as God had Moses to place an image of two cherubims staring down at the mercy seat, as if peering into it. Amen. It is as if the angels wonder at how God could have mercy upon fallen man. They understand justice. They understand judgment. But they are amazed at mercy. Amen. Amen. They stare down at that mercy seat as if by seeking to peer inside. And if they see inside that mercy seat, they observe the written law of God, by the way, which represents Jesus Christ, which is the Word of God. Amen. Now, in thinking about this, I got to thinking about the fact that God revealed Himself first by a spoken word. God was there. Nothing else was there. Just God. And God spoke, revealed Himself, and things started happening. Amen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Amen. And we go all through the creation story, God spoke, and it was so. So God revealed Himself first by a spoken word. God revealed Him second. The first time His word became substance, it's not flesh yet, but its substance was on tables of stone when God with His own finger wrote the law of God and gave it to Moses. Moses took that written law of God down the mountain. You know the story? When he got to the bottom of the mountain, he saw the nation of Israel in sin as they built a golden calf, and they had built an altar there and were worshiping around that golden calf and dancing in sin. And Moses, in his anger, threw the tablets down and break them. And God told him to gather them up. And I believe they placed them in the Ark of the Covenant. It's very possible that it is the rewritten, as God told Moses to go back up on the mountain, and God told Moses to write down the things that God told him then on two tablets of stone. And that written law of God, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, who was broken the first time He came. His body was broken. Amen. Shattered. Cast down. Because of the anger of men and the sin of men. Amen. But they not only see in that ark of the covenant the law of God that was broken the first time, but they also see Aaron's rod that budded. You can see that in the scriptures as well, which is representing Christ, who came alive out of a dead twig. And then they see the golden pot of manna, which represents Christ as the bread of life. I'm simply saying these angels peer down in their inquisitive form. They're looking and marveling and amazed that God became flesh. Amen. Now, the Apostle Peter also informs us in the New Testament that the angels are curiously looking into and looking upon this mighty work of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 8 through 12 say it this way, "Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things," look at this, "which things the angels desire to look into." Amen. The Apostle Peter informs us that we have such a treasure in this grace of God that is revealed through the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us that the prophets of old testified about Jesus, and they knew their testimony was for some later time, and therefore they studied their own writings, trying to understand what they had written. Amen. It also tells us that the angels desire to look into these truths. That word translated look is Strong's number 3879, and it means to bend beside. That is to lean over so as to peer within, unquote. I'm going to have to stop right there, friend, but what it's saying here is that these angels long to see what you and I experience and what you and I have the opportunity to know and enjoy, and that is the grace of God. Friend, wouldn't you like to know something about this? If you're unsaved, you can come to know Christ. He took upon himself the form of a man that men and women and boys and girls might be saved. He tasted death for every man, that whosoever will can come unto him. And if you are saved, we ought to glorify our Lord for what grace, what a Savior, what a God. Hallelujah. Thank you for listening.